This is the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast on Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut?
I resign.
We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad?
I was so wrong.
Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report Podcast is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Guess what? It's Friday, December 12th. And Paul Perillo, that means another Patriots.com Roster Report podcast. We do this every Friday afternoon, and it's really the highlight of my week. It really kicks us off into the weekend as the Patriots prepare to host the Miami Dolphins here at Gillette Stadium with an opportunity to not only seek revenge for the opening day loss, but clinch the American Football Conference Eastern Division crown hat and t-shirt game. But before we get to that, we got to get to the transactions of the week. Okay, we're done with the transactions of the week. We do have a couple reported issues with the roster, Paul Perillo. First and foremost, last night, Adam Schefter reported the Patriots reached a two-year extension with backup offensive lineman Marcus Cannon. Apparently for $3 million, the Boston Globe reported that it included a $3.2 million signing bonus.
$9 million.
What did I say?
$3
million. Oh, nine.
2 years, $9
million. Maybe that was me, Jeff. Freudian slip. I was thinking what I would pay him. And no, that wasn't a Freudian slip because I wouldn't pay him that. But what do you think of this move? He was headed toward free agency after this season. Rookie deal ran out. Former fifth-round pick. Began the year as the starter at guard. Lost that job. Then Correct. Was rotating at both tackle spots. Hasn't done that of late. And last we saw him was struggling a little bit as a extra blocker in tight end situation. You know, extra tight end in
Hasn't been
blocking
a great
situations.
Year for Cannon. I thought he played better last year, although I have not really been overly impressed with him so far in any of the extended playing time that he's received. My first thought on the deal was that they want to make sure that they're covered for Nate Solder. And you know, we all know that they picked up that option, but that is not a guarantee.
Right.
They could just cut Solder. You know, all picking up the option did was added a year to his contract and prevented him from becoming a free agent at the end of the season. So I think the price tag is pretty hefty, over $7 million, $7.5
yes.
million, somewhere
I believe
in
it
that
is, neighborhood. It is guaranteed for injury, correct?
I think that is correct if he were to get hurt this year.
Yes.
I think you're right about that. But Solder has struggled a little bit lately. We haven't been overly impressed with Cannon, but maybe they just want to have another option there and have a competition maybe heading into training camp next season. I'm not exactly sure why the urgency to get Cannon re-signed.
Just to sort of cover all our bases on the offensive line, everybody and from the starting lineup right now is under contract except for Dan Conley. He is scheduled to be a free agent. So I've seen some people pose the idea maybe Cameron Fleming becoming a guard and Cannon would maintain sort of the backup, swing tackle, whatever insurance role. I guess that's a possibility. It's just interesting, and I think the first reaction from a lot of fans and media types was, A, surprise, and B, that's kind of a lot of money. $3.2 million signing bonus.
Regardless of what it is, it's a lot of money.
And I think a lot of fans' immediate reaction was, I thought we were trying to scrape together some money to make sure we don't lose Darrell Revis.
Or Devin McCourty, or even, you know, guys that have been played front-line starters.
Right. But this certainly plays into what Belichick has done a lot over the years, paying middling type performers, lower level guys, extending them and at times irritating fans by paying them more than fans perceive them to be worth. You know, James Sanders was an example back in the day. You know, they've had Tully Banta Canes of the world, Kyle Arrington, a lot of people sort of scoffed at when he re-signed. So it's not out of that realm of normalcy for Belichick to have these type of re-signings.
And the only thing about that is some of those haven't exactly been wise choices.
Oh, no, that's my point. Some have worked, some haven't. Right. Some have been, you know, Kyle Arrington maybe has worked.
You could say that's...
James Sanders didn't work. Tully Banta Canes
didn't
work. So, yeah, it's sort of 50-50. Elsewhere, reportedly, consideration at this point, report from the Boston Herald that Dominic Easley could end up on IR. We have the injury report. We'll go over that in a few minutes, but he has not officially been placed on IR. Is simply listed as out with a knee injury. What do you make of that report and sort of the season that Easley has had as the first-round pick?
I would think that there's some validity to the report based on the on-again, off-again nature of his availability the last month or so. He's been practicing, then the next week he's not practicing. He's in the lineup one game. He's out of the lineup the next game. My guess is he's dealing with some nagging problems. I don't know if they're lingering effects of the ACL that he tore last year, which obviously caused him to have a slow start to this season. He missed the bulk of training camp, sporadically played only sporadically in the preseason, and then was sort of a bit player throughout the first half of the year. As he started to get a little more playing time, he started bouncing in and out of practice time. So I don't know if he suffered. He's listed with a knee injury. I don't know if it's the same knee or a different knee. That's the, you know, the beauty of Foxborough is you never know. I don't know if it's resulted as a result of the injury he suffered at Florida or not, but kind of a lost season for the first round pick. I think it might make sense to just sort of shut it down, start it over, and get ready for year two.
And I know there's not total replication maybe of skills, but, you know, Chris Jones has sort of that pass rush ability, you know, can kind of bump inside and out, and Jones might not be leaned upon as a true defensive tackle of late with the return of Silver Salinga last week to the active roster playing in San Diego, and Alan Branch has become sort of a rotational option on the defensive line. So they have a few more bodies to work with there now than they may have, you know, a month ago.
Yeah.
And so the situation not necessarily as dire as you might think. So we'll get right into the injury report. As I said, Dominic Easley, the only player listed as out, missed practice all week with that knee. Then the Patriots have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys, I believe, counting in as we go here, with questionable status after limited participation. Dan Conley with the ankle, limited all week. Julian Edelman, the thigh. Those are obviously two guys that have been playing through those issues, including last week. Cameron Fleming, ankle, limited all week, questionable. Did not play last week. We've seen him getting rehab basically on the go in the locker room with little stimulus on his ankle. Be interesting to see what his status is moving forward. Dante Hightower is a big one. Limited all week, questionable. Did not play in San Diego, leading to Jamie Collins sort of stepping up both on the field and in terms of communication and his entire role. Dante Hightower, how concerned are you right now with that injury, and do you expect we'll see him on Sunday?
I'm less concerned about it than I was last week at this time, because I thought that that would be a real big blow that would be tough to overcome, but they played great. I'm not saying that just because they played great one week means that's nothing to worry about. Obvious concern about Hightower because I think he's an important player, but the Patriots defense showed me a lot last week in being able to overcome that injury. I would actually, based on that performance, Andy, I'd be more willing, if he's not quite ready to get back, to give him another week off, because I think he's that important. You want to have him available as close to 100% as an NFL player is going to be heading into the playoffs. So if that shoulder is still a problem here, I wouldn't be opposed to sitting him out. You got a little bit of wiggle room here.
Agreed.
And you should win the division, you know, at some point. If it's not this week, then next week.
You also may have some roster flexibility, positional flexibility. Chandler Jones, hip, limited all week, questionable. I think there's a decent chance he could return this week. If he does, that might free up Akeem Ayers, who's been playing a lot of sub-defensive end, to play a little more linebacker. And if you're without Hightower, kind of overlapping duties there, that might be a you know, in play this Sunday against the Dolphins, although I'm sure if Jones does return, it may not exactly be in a wire-to-wire 90% playtime type role that he's had for the last year plus. Brandon LaFell, the wide receiver, shoulder, limited. Obviously, he played with it last week. Rob Ninkovich, heel, limited all week. That is a new injury.
I watched him a little bit this week in the locker room. Didn't seem to be suffering many ill effects from that.
So you're okay with
it? I think he's going to be okay.
Okay. Because he's a durable guy. He doesn't
miss
anything.
Time.
So I'm gonna assume he plays, and he's not quite in the Tom Brady range of, you know, I ignore the injury report and say he's Rob Ninkovich, he'll play, but he's Rob Ninkovich.
It's a pretty demanding position to miss as little time as he's missed over the last 3-4 years.
Shane Vereen, the running back, ankle, limited all week, questionable. And Chris White, ankle, limited all week, questionable. He missed last week's game, the special teamer. Be interesting to see if he gets back out there. Tom Brady, he's a quarterback, you know. Ankle injury, full participation all week. He's probable he will be out there. Couple guys removed from the list. LeGarrette Blount did not practice on Wednesday, was removed the following day when he returned. That was not injury related. That was due to a court appearance in Pennsylvania stemming from a marijuana issue he had in August with Le'Veon Bell, and has been offered a deal reportedly of 50 hours of community service. So that was just an issue off the field, and Blount is very excited, actually, to play this week. He's looking forward to running against a Miami defense that's given up 661 yards on the ground the last 3 games. Danny Aiken, limited on Wednesday and Thursday, but then his concussion was gone on Friday, removed from the list. So he's good to go, Paul Perillo. I know you have the injury report in front of you. I'm not going to run down the Dolphins, but anything jump off the Dolphins injury report for you?
No, not really. A couple of guys out, Nate Garner and Anthony Johnson. You know, Garner is a guy who's played a little bit on the offensive line, but not a huge loss. Other than that, Koa Misi is doubtful, a name that most people probably are familiar with. And that's part of the problem with the you see three linebackers listed as doubtful. Jelani Jenkins, Jonathan Freeney, and Koa Misi. You mentioned 660-some-odd yards or something allowed. Well, we remember way back in week one, they lost two of their starting linebackers for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Wheeler, and the other name is escaping me at the moment. But they lost two starting linebackers in week one. You see they're in week 14 now, 15, whatever it is, and they have three other linebackers listed as doubtful, so that might tell you why they're having such a hard time stopping the run.
And just a game note, one guy who is on the Dolphins now that wasn't in that case was Mike Pouncey, the former center, now playing right guard for them. And I found it interesting, Bill Belichick called him one of the best players in the NFL in one of his press conferences this week, and that sort of just jumped off the page at
me. Those are the kinds of things that really intrigue me.
Me too.
When
that's
he makes those kinds of comments.
Noted. I mean, that's high praise for Belichick to say you're one of the best players in the league. So Mike Pouncey will be a guy that Vince Wilfork and company will have to deal with. But the big news of the week is the fact that Marcus Cannon got a two-year contract extension, and Dominic Easley reportedly not only is out for this game, but according to the Boston Herald, could end up on injured reserve, ending his rookie season. For Paul Perillo, I'm Andy Hart. We will be back next Friday, as always, with all the big moves, roster changes. Keep an eye on everything, and we'll keep an eye on it for you. Until then, peace out.
This has been the New England Patriots Roster Report Podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team, only on Patriots.com.